So happy Juneteenth, everyone. Our brand new federal holiday honoring the day that the last enslaved people in the Confederate States, in the state of Texas, heard the good news of their emancipation. It happened in 1865, a full 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was read aloud by President Abraham Lincoln, declaring that all persons held as slaves within said designated states and parts of states are, and henceforward shall be, free. It would still be another 6 months before slavery was fully ended in the entire United States with the passage of the 13th Amendment to our Constitution. So June 19th, 1865 meant freedom only to some of those enslaved in our country. And yet, the commemoration of this day has continued as a day to celebrate African American culture and the resilience and power of a people who have kept the faith while continuing the struggle to be free. Even when forces were and are still aligned to oppress, African Americans in this country claim the joyful celebration of freedom. What a witness this is for all of us in this world. Thanks be to God, we get to have a holiday now to celebrate this good news. That's the gospel right there, celebrating here in our country today. And today's story in our gospels that we just heard gives another window into that experience of freedom. It's the healing of the Gerasene demoniac, and it's such an accurate story for what happens when we are met with the good news of freedom. Not the pigs and all, necessarily, that doesn't always happen for us, but the way everybody in the story reacts when freedom appears on the scene. This good news is actually kind of hard to take. This man has been enslaved for years by demons, raving, harming himself and others. And the only solution that the villagers can find to this, apparently, is to further enslave him, bind him in chains and shackles in the hopes of controlling him. But he keeps breaking those chains and running away, freed in one way and yet still utterly possessed and unfree. And either he gets recaptured every time he does this, or perhaps he comes back himself, unable to make it on his own, unable to truly be free. And then Jesus appears. And this man begs him for help, knowing, or at least hoping, that here at last he might find some freedom. And he does. Jesus heals the man possessed with demons, restores him to his right mind, restores him to life. And he is freed from what has held him in literal and emotional chains for all of these years. There's a part of a poem by Drew Jackson, who's a black pastor here in New York City, who riffs on this story in the Gospel of Luke, saying, "When he came through my hood, I finally understood what we mean when we say God is good all the time." So, of course, this man wants to stay with Jesus, this one who's brought him healing and life. He's lived in such external and internal chaos for so long, it may feel terrifying for him to set out on his own, in his right mind, to create his own life anew. He'd rather cling to Jesus, maybe hoping that Jesus might set some rules, give him a structure to live in, give him something to control him going forward. Legion, as the poet Jackson writes, oppresses from the outside and takes up residence inwardly. But instead, Jesus sends him off, utterly free, and gives him only one rule: go and preach to your people about what God has done for you. And so he does, and he is fully healed and fully free, able to step in to this freedom and to share it with all those he has known and all those he will come to meet. It's such a powerful story of joy and life. God is good all the time. But the Gerasene villagers don't seem to see it that way. They are completely freaked out. "Please," they say to Jesus, "just go away. We can't bear what has happened here." And I suppose we can kind of understand it. Maybe those pigs were their livelihood, and they'd all spooked and thundered down to drown in the sea. And the villagers didn't know what Jesus was going to do next to destroy their economic system. Or maybe their sense of security depended on there being someone out there in the tombs that they could try to control, a kind of a scapegoat to foist all of their fear and anger upon. Or maybe just the whole trauma of the experience, this raving violence sent to drown in the chaos and tumult of the sea, running wild instead of kept safely under lock and key. What else might break free? If this guy stays around, what else might happen? "Please, Jesus, just go away." Freedom. It's so close, we can taste it. It's so powerful, we want to celebrate it, even when it's not guaranteed. And yet, we are so afraid to truly be free. Juneteenth is, in some ways, a bittersweet celebration. It's a celebration of freedom, but it's also a witness that we once thought it was a good idea to own other people and to create a construct of race based on our need to turn other people into commodities and objects. And oh yes, we do still do this today. We have all kinds of ways laced into our economics and our society to keep people in their place, to use and exploit, to be used and exploited, manipulated into votes to keep corrupt leaders in power, exploited into consumers and laborers to line the pockets of the rich, enslaved by our own stoked-up fears that isolate us and separate us from one another. We live and breathe a caste system that operates inside of us as well as outside. And it is so hard to break free of it. It operates on us in every possible way. But our hope is founded on one who lived freedom in every ounce of his being. Jesus made time for people of every kind of background, gathering together in his most intimate circle people with wildly different politics and socioeconomic status. A tax collector making himself rich off of the Roman occupation. A zealot plotting the overthrow of that very occupying force. Fishermen who maybe had never thought about politics a day in their life. Women who were outcasts from their structure, yet somehow able with their money to support this new movement. For people that were made unclean by societal rules, Jesus had a healing touch. For children who were rendered invisible in the economy, Jesus had an embrace. For a rich man who was stuffed and sated with his own possessions, Jesus had love. For criminals crucified for their crimes, Jesus had forgiveness. In every encounter throughout his life, right through to his death, Jesus offered freedom to every person without exception, even when they themselves could not accept it. And then with the empty tomb, he gave us all freedom, even from the fear of death. Do not be afraid, Jesus says over and over. There is nothing to fear. You are free. A colleague shared with me this week a new song by the band Florence and the Machine called Free. It has a glorious video, by the way, if you look it up on YouTube. The singer lays bare her daily struggle with anxiety and fear. But then she sings these great words. Is this how it is? Is this how it's always been? To exist in the face of suffering and death and somehow still keep singing. Oh, like Christ up on a cross, who died for us? Who died for what? Oh, don't you want to call it off? But there's nothing else that I know how to do but to open up my arms and give it all to you. Juneteenth gives us a reminder of freedom. A reminder that we make no peace with oppression, that we resist every effort to shackle and enslave others. And a reminder that even in the face of all that is not right in this world, we can still be free. And a reminder that Jesus calls us into a freedom that celebrates despite it all, that is resilient and strong and opens up its arms to give it all away and does not rest until all are truly free. God's work of liberation continues inside of us, through us, despite us sometimes, all around us, always. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you, Jesus tells us. Because they are all so afraid. They need to know and be free. Live and be free. Because God is good. All the time. all the time. God is good. Amen.